I know ads are a bit annoying, but they're the only way I can make sure all content on this site stays free to everyone. If you want to chip in and remove these adverts, visit patreon.com/girlonthenet and support me there at any level. This is I'm Into It. This is a piece of improv erotica where I ask my Patreons to suggest a name, a kink, a location and an object, and I take those things and turn them into a dirty piece of flash fiction. The prompts for this story were name, Tony, kink, exhibition, voyeurism, location, library, an object, desk. Come Friday afternoon at 4:15 p.m. to the desk that's hidden in the back. Third floor, come out of the lift, take a left and then walk and keep walking. Try not to hurry. It's a library. No one runs in here. Beyond history and politics and English literature. Take a long hike past even philosophy. Ignore the drawer of Camus and Kant and keep going. To the section where the windows to the outside got blocked up when they built the extension around the turn of the century. The section that's visited only by the most esoteric scholars. And, at 4:15 on Fridays, by us. There's something about being watched, isn't there? Maybe not to you, I guess. I know that to the watchers, what we do is sometimes baffling. They're grateful that we do it, but confused as to why. Those who stand behind shelves, peeking through the gaps left by dusty books swiftly removed just after 4 p.m, they're usually too shy to ever dream of joining in. They just stand and watch and touch themselves. But I like to be watched. I like to know I'm being watched. That moment when you feel eyes upon you and hear the sound of rapid shuffling, clothes swiftly pulled down or aside, rustling in time to the movement of a stranger's busy hands. That sound is sweeter to us than a chorus of cheers or a round of applause. It's the furtive nature of it, you know? The hushed, muffled, trying to be silent aspect. That's what gets our hearts racing. Weird, sure, but we're into it. Are you? The first time it happened was an accident, of course. We stumbled across it when Tony was looking for some ancient thesis or other. One of his colleagues had told him it might have something useful for a lecture series he was preparing on social cues and shame. Shame is compelling, isn't it? Like being watched is compelling. In real life, we've never been caught, but in my fantasies, we often are. Someone steps out from behind the shelves and takes us to task, orders me to take Tony's cock from my mouth, drags me to the front desk, tits out and hair messy and skirt hiked up around my waist, gives me a dressing down in front of the staff and students who haven't yet scarpered for the pub. I fell for Tony because I liked shame. I enjoyed the way he talked about it. Playful, teasing, giving the dry academic details of social science a hint of something more sordid. The first time we were there at 4:15, I spotted that desk and whispered that he should take me over it. Told him, "It's shameful of me, I know, but..." And then bending over, arching my back in a kind of porn pastiche. Half joking, half serious, thinking, I'll decide which way to go after seeing his reaction when I lift my skirt. If he'd laughed or turned away, I'd have just done the same. But he didn't. He scanned the stacks swiftly to make sure no one was watching, then took two quick strides forward and lifted my skirt completely. Yanked my knickers to the side to expose my bare cunt. Unzipped and beat at himself to get his cock just hard enough to slide in. Spat on his fingers and worked them into me to make sure I was wet enough before he plunged inside. Back then, The hottest thing about what we did was the potential for shame, the secrecy of it. The way he reached forward with both hands to cover my mouth and stop me from gasping as each stroke of his cock slammed my hips into the desk. The way he tried to muffle his grunt of satisfaction when he came. When he was done and we were still, each of us heard the telltale shuffle of someone watching nearby. It was almost funny how slowly we got dressed once we'd clocked that. Exchanged one of those looks together, the one that means, weird, but I'm into it. We've swapped quite a few of those looks over the years. So, look exchange, silent pact made. We took our time getting dressed, kissing deeply, slipping oh so slowly back into our dishevelled clothes, turning this way and that, so whoever it was could get a better view of the aftermath. 4:15 on Fridays. Stop by if you like. You won't be the only one there. There was just one watcher that week, and the first few weeks, then a month later there were two. Behind separate shelves, each with their own little peephole, created by nudging a couple of books from their rightful place. We don't know anything about the people who come. We prefer it that way. Is it the same people each week or different ones? Do they each have their spot from which to watch, or do they pick a new one each time to get fresh angles on the desk and what we do there? How do they spread the word to fellow voyeurs? I don't know. I don't want to know. Perhaps it's just wisdom of the crowd. You see enough people heading somewhere on Friday afternoons, and one day you follow just to see what's going on. It really is a crowd now. Last week we had 12 people watching as I rode him on the chair, with my back to them so they could see in detail how his cock stretched my cunt out nice and tight as I slid up and down it. 12 people watching as he gripped my hair in one of his fists and yanked me to one side, pulling my shirt down in the process and arching me back so they could see the way my tits jiggled as we fucked. The week before there'd been 13. More than enough to get me wet with hope that our shame might be exposed one day, that one of them wasn't there to enjoy it, but to stop it, to shame us both. I know it's weird, I know, but we're into it. That week Tony had teased them, played up to the audience, whispered, shh, as he bent me over the desk, then spread my cheeks wide and poised with his rock-solid dick in hand, lubed up and ready to fuck. Pressing the tip of his cock up close against my cunt, then my ass, then my cunt again, as if waiting for a public vote before choosing which hole to fuck. I wondered if more people were thinking cunt, or more were thinking ass. My guess was the latter. He'd not fucked me in the ass before. Not in the library anyway. And people love novelty. I like to think that regular watchers would be rooting for him to slide it into a brand new hole. That they'd be hoping to see something they'd never seen before. Me biting my lip to keep from crying out above a whisper as he plunged it in, brutal and hard. Above all, I was wondering whether this might be the final time, whether this was Tony pushing it too far, and someone would step out of the shadows and stop us. Yell, enough, in a voice so much louder than library whispers, and march out to take hold of this slut bent over the desk. Grab me by the collar of my open shirt, exposing more of my flushed chest and rock-hard nipples, then march me towards the reception desk and the climax of my shame. 4:15 on Friday afternoons, at the desk at the back of the building. Beyond history and politics, Camus and Kant. Come early, keep quiet. It's weird, but I'm into it. If you liked that, as ever, you can find loads more audio porn at girlonthenet.com/audioporn. As I say, this one is improv erotica, so it means it was created with my Patreons, where they input prompts and then I write a sexy story to try and meet all of those prompts. The money from Patreon goes towards helping to create more audio porn and pay other guest readers and writers to bring you more smut. Patreon.com/girlonthenet.